Okay, and welcome back. Talking to Jim Oglesby about his remarkable long-term association with intelligent life from out there. Okay, we are at a point now where... Where do you want to go next, Jim? I shouldn't leave
okay.
you.
Okay.
Your story.
That's fine. Hey, I appreciate being on your show. This is great. I want to just continue with the ET technician answering my questions.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. The
technician. Let me just help people again
if
they just joined us. Jim has been in contact with one ET. We think one, a technician by self-description. Now he has carried on conversations with Jim for a long time, and there are things that I can't wait to hear about. So go ahead. This is the technician, not the captain, not the stewardess. This is the technician. All right.
Yeah, just a lab technician. Information received from the technician addressing the March 8 four probes incident, and that was on which one was it? That was number 11. Anyway, let's see here. Okay, ET technician, we received thoughts you sent out expressing your concern as to the purpose of the four probes, as you alluded to that night.
Uh-huh.
That night we recorded your reactions, including your thoughts. We were interested in your friend. Although we were interested in you as an emissary, we appreciated your friend's participation. Yes, we influenced your decision to stand near the edge of the road. That's what I was thinking, you know. And you wondered why four probes? Why not one or two? Where did the probes come from? In other words, their origin. Well, they didn't manifest from another dimension. Indeed not. You had emphatically stated the decision to create four was made by a scientific team. This is me. I got the feeling the probes might have been organic, super intelligent mechanisms designed for probing brains and extracting data.
Mm-hmm.
ET technician, your belief that the probes were organic, super intelligent, he quoted me word for word, and mechanisms was correct. We named them Free Rangers. Free-Rangers.
Huh.
Unlike remote control discs that are controlled by lab technicians, the Free Rangers come and go at will, and when surveillance of a particular military installation becomes necessary and or contacting another prospective messenger, they intuit our thoughts and they act. Whew. They collect data from sources, process the information instantaneously, return to lab, transfer the data into a computerized processing system, after which they enter a special chamber designed to accommodate their sensitive vibratory frequencies.
How quickly do these words come to you? Are they in a normal cadence, like I'm talking with you now? Are there little
like
thought
talking,
bursts?
Just like my neighbor next door comes over and wants to have a conversation. You know, just like want to have a conversation. Yeah.
Can you ask questions during these little conversations with him at will, or do you have to wait for a specific time? How much interaction is there?
Yikes. I don't know if I ever stopped here and asked him a question. But actually, he just gave me the information, and I did write it down. I didn't put this in here, but I stopped my writing, and I started writing. And he didn't even ask me to start writing. I just knew I needed to start writing.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay, on a June night in the year 1968, this is way back, I watched a craft fitted with red lights rotating to and fro around the craft's outer perimeter, rising from the 123067 landing site. The craft rose into the air and shot off to the south. Information received from the technician addressing the June 1968 event. ET technician, that craft was one of the two craft that landed on 123067. Craft returned to carrier vessel. Information received from the technician addressing the May sighting of a craft. ET technician, the May sighting of a craft observed by you and friends returned to carrier vessel. I waited for the technician to continue, but that was it. I don't hear any more. He just, when he signs off, he signs off.
Huh. Wow.
you know, there was a time when this all started. I just had this, I said, okay, is this me? You know, is this coming from my subconscious? Can my subconscious actually carry on an audibleized conversation like this? And I said, perhaps so, but all this information, there's no way, you know. And I just,
no.
There was just no way. So, but I had to consider that because, you know, the mind, as you know, the mind is, you know, right. The mind, if you give it good material, it'll give you a good life. If you give it faulty material, look at the crime in the world today. And there you go.
Well, you are what you eat, and you are what you think, and you take in. Yeah.
Was his
voice? How many years now have you first voice contact with him telepathically? Was 1968. How many years?
Yeah.
It's up to the current time now. That's 70, almost 50, 51 years, something
51
like that.
51 years. Yeah. I'm just amazed that they stayed with me because, you know, somebody's, but they did. I don't have to go there. They stayed with me, and now mm-hmm. look what's going on. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is a big story, and a lot of people are listening, and they will continue to listen. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is his voice a nice voice? Is it pleasant? Is it more mechanical?
Like your voice, very fluid, very, very poignant, but very fluid, you know, and right to the business at hand. He didn't say, hey, Jim, how you doing? You know, not anything like that. He just, James, and right, right to it.
Well, they're obviously very fond of you for reasons I couldn't quantify, but you have been selected for this long-term relationship. Of course, for them, it might be just, you know, a week. We don't know what their time is like.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, we go around that sun, you know, 12 months out of the year, and we go through everything we go through. These guys, like you said, it might just be a couple of weeks for them or whatever, and they're just, you know, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Did he ever give any other information that would suggest a name, a lifestyle on board the craft, where they came from, what the craft was like? What little tidbits might have you picked up?
Some of that is going to be addressed in here. Some of it.
Very good. All right.
Yeah,
you don't have to reveal it tonight.
I want to put it in the next book.
Whatever you want to do.
I don't mind sharing this information because there is so much in the book, you know, and I think there's more to come. So I don't mind sharing it. You know, the way I look at it, if I sell a book, great. If I sell 1,000, great. Whatever. I just look at myself as a vehicle for information, and I can live with that, you know. Yeah.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. This was an interesting experience here. I had been working. Okay, this on the night of July the 17th, 2019, I sent out the three questions. What questions did I send out? I kind of got ahead of myself here. I sent out three questions.
Take your time. No hurry.
Yeah, let's see. Let me go ahead with this, and if I need to track down those questions, okay, here we go. Let me go ahead with this, and if I need to insert the questions, I will.
Sure.
This was on the night of July 17, 2019, I sent out the three questions. I think one was who was driving the vehicle on the night during the first rendezvous behind the lake, behind Lake Pickett. If you remember, that was, you remember that? Yeah. I said, I put out who was driving the vehicle. He or she had to have been either a human being or an extraterrestrial. Uh-huh. If the driver had been human, then he or she would have returned to NASA's Kennedy Space Center. This is what I'm thinking. Transported the ETs to a specific location and returned to duty and or retired for the night. Where did the craft go after it had departed the rendezvous site for the last time? Okay, let's see. Now let me jump over here. Okay, here we go. I had been working on the last two chapters of the book for about 8 hours straight, and I was exhausted. This was on July the 17th. I leaned back in the chair and closed my eyes, and a voice said, "Use this name." I awoke abruptly, and the word Raya popped in my head. That's spelled R-A-Y-Y-A. It just popped in my head.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, as I was waking up, I kind of drifted off into that zone, you know, between sleep and what you want to call it.
Yes.
The zone. And
we'll call
as
it
I was
twilight
waking up,
sleep.
Twilight sleep. As I was waking up, those words just rolled off my tongue. So I wrote it down and I said, I wonder if that's his name. So here we go. ET technician. Hello, James. We admire the courage and determination you showed when you took it upon yourself to defend another person's knowledge of our craft, our home planet, and our race. Although you never met the person in question, I thought immediately of George Adamski. ET technician, you are correct. It will not be necessary to respond to your most recent thoughts concerning our craft, home planet, and our race. You have that information. So I have been thinking about that all along. And anyway, let me move on here. You wondered why our intel had met an envoy, had sent an envoy to Kennedy Space Center during the Apollo program. Our intel protocol functions in a manner similar to the U.S. military forces and other countries when certain information deemed sensitive falls within high priority top secret categories. The envoy's directive observe and advise. If you like, include the information in your book and share at the meeting. The meeting was on just before the July 27 meeting. I had stated, as I had done at the May 12 Mother's Day MUFON meeting, my friends are looking in on this meeting. So anyway, I'm back in my room. I leaned back in the chair and I tried to wrap my mind around the July 4th and the July 17th communications with an extraterrestrial named Raya. I believe the voice that woke me up was the technician inside the lab inside a carrier vessel. He didn't mention that during the last telepathic session. August 26, 3 nights ago. Here we go. August 26, 3 nights ago. I was just about ready to start when I hoped what I hoped would be the last revision of the book. It was then my thoughts drifted back to the March 6, 1968, the night an extraterrestrial craft had rendezvoused with an official-looking vehicle near the shoreline of Lake Pickett, a kidney-shaped lake about halfway between NASA's Kennedy Space Center and Orlando, Florida. And information dating back to that significant historic event started to come to me. The March 6th event would be the first of three meetings that I had firsthand knowledge of. However, according to the ET technician inside a lab inside a carry vessel, there had been others. The first meeting suggested that the ET intel had contacted a NASA official telepathically, this is me talking, prior to the March 6th meeting between an ET craft, an official-looking vehicle, and the NASA insider contact made available, who made available the proper high-priority classified credentials the ET envoy would be required to show upon their arrival to the Kennedy Space Center complex. I concluded from that assessment that the driver of the official-looking vehicle, a human being, had been responsible for shuttling the ETs back and forth from the rendezvous site to a specific location on the Kennedy Space Center complex. Then I remembered what the ET technician had said to me in reference to the vehicle driver. He had said this to me earlier. I cannot reveal the contact's identity even to you, a trusted intermediary. Then I thought the ET technician could not reveal the driver's identity for the reason that he had stated, but I believe the driver was human and not an ET. ET technician, James, you are correct. There again, I cannot reveal the driver's identity, even though that loyal, dedicated contact has passed on. To do so would only serve to draw unavoidable attention to family members still living. I hope they know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We would like to thank Ready for this. I got to pause a second.
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. We would like to thank Jeff Rentz for his continued unwavering commitment to our cause, even though he may not be aware that we were and are aware of his program and the fundamental role he plays when addressing the extraterrestrial presence on the planet Earth. We would also like to thank all of the guests that you have had on your enlightening, informative program by coming forward and sharing their knowledge about our craft. Guests charged with knowledge gleaned from personal experience as well as knowledge of our past and current interactions with our human counterparts. We would also like to thank Frank Chile, Jr., for encouraging James to come forward and share his knowledge and personal experience with any and all. You see, we know. That was it.
Wow, that's...
That was it.
That's really an amazing thing to hear. Certainly Frank deserves that, and our guests. It's been my honor to do it. I'm just as thrilled as I could be today as I was when we started doing this kind of thing 26 years ago. And I often wondered who was involved with saving my life and sending me back here after that attempted assassination 4 years ago. And it wouldn't surprise me if something did it.
I wrote it all down and I said, oh my gosh. So it's just amazing that I feel like that they want more and more people to come forward, and mm-hmm. I think they really do. And well, look at this, they're coming forward. There's nothing standoffish about this. Mm-hmm. Even when I at the MUFON meeting on Mother's Day this last year, when was it, May? They let me know that they were tuning into that meeting, and I even shared that with the packed house of people that were there. There was basically standing room only, and I think that the ETs, it wasn't me. I think they had a lot to do with that. You know, so there's something going on, and I'm just going to let it unfold and see what happens.
Well, Jim, I agree, and I'm clear that they have a lot to do with you yet. So we'll be with it every step of the way. That's really exciting. What a nice thing to hear. How nice.
Yes. So Jeff, are you holding out here? Huh?
I'm doing fine. Oh yeah.
No, I'm. Great. I'm just kidding about the fact that they know who you are.
Well,
you know,
I'm.
You know when when we putting out these thoughts and all, they know.
Oh, I think they're hearing every one of them. They're all recorded. They know. I think these people and fortunately, you clearly are involved with some very enlightened, spiritually advanced people. These are the special ones, and that's great.
Yeah. I'm glad I got those in my life, and I think it had to. You know, I'm a firm believer in past lifetimes, and I totally believe that. You know, when we come into this life, we bring in certain conditions and what have you from previous lifetimes, and we have to work through them. And obviously, you've worked through a lot, as has Frank, and a lot of your listeners. You know, we work through a lot, and that makes us what we are right now. So that makes us available for being contacted by beings like this. You know, yeah.
I agree. Well, I'm ready anytime they want to come over. Love to go for a ride and say hello. That'd be fun.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, I'm not going to read anything. What I've learned a long time ago from me personally is not to read anything into this other than what's going on and see how it unfolds. I like that word, unfolds, you know.
Wonderful word, and you have done exactly that. In every one of our conversations, that is exactly the man we hear talking. So, well done. Hold on just a minute now. I have to do a little bit of time out here to honor our sponsors who make this all possible. And remember, we have the best of the best here for you. And we will be right back with Jim. Hold on. Talking with Jim Oglesby about his remarkable experiences. All right, Jim, go right ahead.
Yeah, let's see. I did put a thought out on what was the question? Where they came, the race, where they came from, and something about their craft. I'm going to leave that in. I'm going to save that. I am going to save that for the book.
Okay.
Yeah, I save that for the book, and there's a lot in there. It's I think there's going to be more. So I kind of over the course of the years, you know, you get a thought in your head and you wonder about something. So every once in a while, it comes in your head, and I kind of had a good idea. Right from the very beginning, because of the hardware, the craft that I was looking at, I was able to and you know, you got a remote controlled disc, you got a circular craft, and you got a cigar shaped craft. I looked at all that, and I kind of had a pretty good idea of where they came. came from, but if you listen to all the points of view out there about, for example, saying, well, there's no way that that race could come from this place or that planet or what have you. They just couldn't. And then they give all the scientific reasons.
Silly, myopic, closed-minded, arrogant, condescending reasons that human beings know it all and we have the answers, and the answers say they can't come to here from there. It's too far. It's all silliness. Embarrassing.
Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely. So I processed all that, and I said, well, you know, I wasn't born yesterday, and they can talk all they want, but, you know, I go from what I know. I go from my personal experiences, and they haven't had those experiences, because if they did, they would probably change some attitude. I don't know. So I don't think some of them are going to do that. So once I got through all that, I pretty much felt inside where they came from, you know, looking at their at craft that were, anyway, how can I say this, studying the craft, seeing what they're doing, listening to the ETs, they spoke English. And the one that I got to see on inside a craft, you know, he's a fair skinned, blue eyed, at the time, shoulder length haired being, you know. So mm-hmm. I just took all of that, and I said, well, you know, there's Nordics, and there's perhaps beings coming from Venus, and you know, you hear all that about. There's no way that anything could come out of Venus because of the volatile atmosphere. But there again, well, they don't know.
That may not be, excuse me, Jim, but that may not be the whole truth. There may be a lot more to Venus than we've been told. Remember, we only know what we've been told, and the people doing the telling would not want us to know that, gosh, Venus might just be habitable after all. That would be the last thing they'd want to tell us.
Yeah, and you know, if you got, let's just say you've got, I'll use a scenario. You've got, say, on Venus, you've got humanoids living there. They just happen to be one octave of matter frequency, what have you, above humans. So if we was to look on Venus, they couldn't see us. I mean, we couldn't see them. However, they couldn't see us, because we were at a lower frequency than they are. So I would think that would apply both ways. What do you think?
That's right. That's why when I look at the pictures of Venus and read the quotes about how it's 600, 800 degrees, I have my doubts.
Me too.
Depends. You turn that knob up one octave, as you call it, and all of a sudden things change. So.
Yeah, and obviously that's, you know, it's nice to know that we have people, souls, individuals on this planet like Jeff Rantz and Frank Chile Jr., and there are others also that have been on your program, and some of your listeners out there. You know, we get it, and we know it's all about vibration, frequencies, and that sort of thing. So, yeah, so if they want to stay in their trapped states of consciousness, and that's their choice. But
well, we could call it their comfort zone too. Whatever.
That's more like it. Yeah, comfort zone. Yeah. So let's see here.
What are your plans, Jim, for the book? By the way, what's the estimated time that you'd like to see it available?
Well, right now I have this. This really great lady who's right now is doing the editing in the book, and it's coming along really good. We she's going right through the chapters. So I would, if I had to take a guess, I'm going to say probably in about another 2 weeks. Well, you know how that goes, the process goes, but
Sure.
Maybe 2 weeks to 3 weeks, it should be done, and then it'll be ready for publishing and or printing or however.
That's a remarkable achievement. You know what you might want to do, Jim, and you certainly have my permission? If your publisher, whoever that may be, would like to include these two programs we've done, or all four of them, in an audio disc, stick it inside the back cover, you have my blessing. Go ahead and do it.
That'd be great. Thank you. I will definitely consider that, very much so. Yeah, that would be a nice compliment. Yeah.
Oh, I think it'd be wonderful. Yeah. What a treat.
Yeah. So, what kind of time we got here? We're getting.
We have about 15 minutes.
Okay. It's.
We might want to do. I'd like to go back to that question. And you came up with a name. What other little tidbits that would give us an idea, an understanding, an appreciation of what their lives are like? Now, you did describe them as Nordics or tall blondes, and that trip you made onto and off of a craft, we haven't really talked about in enough detail, so you might want to tell that story and anything else you can remember. But I'd like to hear how you went on board, how they invited you, how that went about.
Okay, I put it out there. So something inside of me says, okay, now you put that out there, but just remember, they're not going to expect anything from you. You will have to figure this out yourself to make yourself available, you know, for that. Uh-huh. And it also has to do I've had some consciousness changes, and it, and my feeling was you're going to have to, you know, you don't have these guys like it used to be. They were coming down the treetop level and all that. You know, after they left the Apollo, after they were finished with that, they went back to the moon, and I didn't get into that. We'll do that sometime. They went back to the moon, and they were watching a lot of the activities at the Cape from their huge screens inside this lab. They were just monitoring a lot after they had left the Cape. So. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with this.
if you don't feel comfortable with describing your visit on board, don't. But if you do, and you want to share just part of it to give us an idea how that came about, that would be fun. But it's up to you.
I won't hesitate to do that, because my feeling about this, but these particular. Race of ETs, they want more of this, and I think in their own way that they're going to come out as much as they can, like they addressed you. You know, they mentioned you tonight. They mentioned Frank, and you know, at the MUFON meeting, they were there. You know, and I knew they were there looking in. So yeah,
do you think that they were in the audience, Jim? Sitting.
That's a good question. Interestingly enough, at the end of the July meeting in Palm Bay, a gentleman came up to me. He was sitting back there, and he was real quiet. And I said, and he came up to me, and he said, "You know," he said, "Jim," he said, "I knew when these extraterrestrials that you've been talking about, I knew when they had tuned into this." He said there was just an energy there. And he had thought that he had seen, an energy that was separate from the people in there. So interesting that you brought that up. So maybe so, because it was a strong energy in there.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, they can pass. So I'm sure that people wouldn't even notice many of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you were, did you, by the way, Jim, when you were at the MUFON meeting, were you a presenter that night? Did you tell some of your story there?
Yeah, I did. I did share some of it there, and I shared some of the illustrations too. Yeah, back then. Yeah.
How did that go over? How were you received?
People were asking questions left and right. That, you know, they were so appreciative of how well they were done, and they were able to, you know, they were able to actually get a visual of what I was talking about. You know.
Uh huh.
Yeah, and one guy said, you know, he said, I don't see how anybody could ever challenge you with this, because you've got all the illustrations, you've got dates, you know, of this sighting, and you've even got moon phases, and he said, how are they gonna, you know, beat you down, you know?
Not to mention over 50 years of interactions.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right now, it's 7:46 Pacific time. It's 10:46 Eastern time. When was the last contact you had from the technician? How many days ago?
That was on the 3 days ago? I mean, I wrote it down.
28th? 27th? 28th is Wednesday.
I think it was the 26th. I did write it down. I'm looking.
Okay,
for
that's
it right
last
now.
Monday then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, so evidently, all that's been going on, it didn't go, it's known, you know, what's, everything is going on. You know, when I went over to the, MUFON meeting on, Mother's Day, you know, I didn't know it, but they already knew, that I was going to be there. You know, they knew I was going to be there, and I guess they can. I don't think it's they're seeing in the future. I think it's something else, some kind of technology they've got. You know, yeah.
They have been here a long time. The Nordics have been reported since before World War II, countless times thereafter. There are many different types of intelligent beings visiting this planet, if not living here. Any idea how many there are? Has that ever been discussed? That there may be 50 or 100 here, or different ones coming and going all the time. What a zoo this would be for them. I would imagine they'd be fascinated.
I you hear so many different reports, and I don't have a problem with it, but I guess because I'm so dyed-in-the-wool first-person experiencer, you know, from personal experience, that when I hear, and I don't mean this to be a put-down to anybody, because they probably got more knowledge about this than I do, but when somebody says that they know somebody went to planet what have you, you know, and all this was going on, I kind of have a problem with that, because the way I look at it, unless you have been there, unless you've had experiences, you know, unless you've been there and know about what you're talking about, it's just to take a second and third party, you know, information, and I just listen to it, and I says, okay, I respect that, but,
I'll respect it, but I don't necessarily believe it. See, the problem is, it's so easy to create this kind of material. And I've talked to so many people who claim to be appointed ambassadors, and it's my job to bring ET and humanity together to save the planet. Those people have, frankly, never interested me much. No proof, no anything. Now, people might say, well, Jim doesn't have any proof, but Jim has spent an extraordinary amount of time and energy to document what has happened to him and what he has experienced with his illustrations, his writings, his wonderful and eloquent descriptions. This is, This is not something that people would do and make up. This is real. And that's the difference. There's an enormous difference.
Absolutely. And why would anybody... You'd have to be an insane person to want to go 50 years and make all this up.
Well, I don't know if right insane up. Is the word, but you certainly
what's
are on a mission, and you're doing it not for reasons of self-aggrandizement. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do, and you've been blessed and given this opportunity, and you're not throwing it away. You're embracing it fully, and I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think that it didn't happen that way, but way back when this all started, if the ETs had known that I had any ulterior motives or were trying to, like you say, self-grandize, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Yes, that's correct.
You know, yeah.
Well, they picked the right man, and I think
they knew
that. Sure, sure. What we want to do here, we have 4 minutes left or so, Jim. What loose ends have we that you might want to pull together for this visit? And then we'll wait until the book is done and you have some more illustrations, some more vignettes, some more stories you want to relate, and we'll have you back. And we want to help launch this book as well as we can. So that too.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much. You know, there again, you know, it takes all of us to make this work. It takes a Jeff Rentz to make this work. It takes a Frank Chile Jr. Some of your other guests who were on, very, you know, I call consciousness people that are operating at higher states of consciousness. It takes that to really, you know what I'm saying. So, I leave
Frank,
that at that.
Frank Chile Jr., has played an extraordinary role in making this information public. He is the man who helps always put these programs together. He lines up the guests. He screens them. He preps me. And he's just played a role that no one else has. He's unique. So it does take all of us working together. And there aren't that many of us, unfortunately.
No, there's not. And if you look at the, Frank, I sometimes wonder, I have to have a chat with Frank sometimes, because I just wonder if the ETs had worked through him to say, hey, you need to have a chat with Jim and get him going. And I did, like I read his articles and, you know, email. I said, okay, here we go. I'm going to take it up a notch and look what's been going on, you know. Yeah.
Frank has had some extraordinary experiences himself, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he were not a serious contactee. And
I would definitely buy that 100%, because he kills me with some of his kindness, you know.
No, there's only
positive.
One Frank Chile. He's a very special person. So there, Frank. He's turning red right now.
He hear all that. So, well, I guess that's going to probably about do it tonight. I'll end this with the last line that E.T. said after he said we would like to thank, after he complimented you and after he complimented Frank, the last line that he said was, you see, we know.
Well, they do. Yes, they do.
That did it right there. That's short. You see,
sure they know.
We know. Yeah.
They are, thankfully, benevolent, enlightened, kind, caring people, and not all of our visitors fit that mold. So we'll leave it at that. The illustrations tonight, I'd urge all of you to go back and enjoy them. They are just love that picture of the house with you and the lady on the lawn. That's an awfully nice picture.
Yeah, I tried to capture, each experience. I tried to put exactly what was going on in there, and once again, I got a compliment. This program that I used back then called Bryce. It's called Bryce 7 Pro. This is what I used create this, and boy, did that program, save the day, because it was able for me to create exactly, for the most part, what I actually saw. Yeah.
I don't know how you were able to, in that particular picture, get the lighting and the shading on the house and so perfect. It's idyllic. It's a wonderful illustration for this topic. Just superb. So I hope you can do more of them. We love them. They're great.
Okay, that's it. All right. So, hey, thanks again, Jeff, for having me on.
Thank you,
Frank. And, we'll keep in touch about that book, too. Yes.
Okay. We will. Okay. You take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, Jeff. You too. All right. Bye.
Good night. Jim Oglesby, the one and only. All right. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hang on.